turn now to the book of John, the 21st chapter. John chapter 21, page 1145 in your Scofield Bible. We'll be reading verses 15 through 18, so you might want to be prepared to turn the page if your Bible is indeed a Scofield Bible. We'll read these verses responsively. There are four verses. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for our privilege today, certainly a privilege that's greater, probably far more than what we even can realize. Thank you for the fact that when we come to this place, we're refreshed, we're strengthened, we're helped. And thy word is, of course, at the center and focus of all of it. But we thank you for a preacher who is true to thee and true to thy word. Bless the preaching and the listening today in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to bring a simple little message this morning that I think will help you. I think it'll be a little slant. I'm going to read again for you a verse or two. I want you to listen very carefully. Jesus is talking here. It said, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Jesus was seeking for the love of Simon Peter. And then he said to him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, and this is the secret of my message. He said, then feed my sheep. If you love me, then feed my sheep. Jesus saith unto him a third time, unto him, if thou wilt be tarried till I come, what is that to thee? Our Heavenly Father, I want us to know we're going to live forever, but I want us to know how we're supposed to live while we are here, waiting for that sweet by and by that was so sweetly mentioned a while ago. Now help me to be a help to the people this morning. This is the only Sunday morning service that they'll have this week. We need strength, encouragement, and help. May it be true and so. Amen. Last Monday night, I was in the Portland, Oregon area preaching. And for over 40 years, I've traveled nearly every week, and for many of those years, every single week, I've traveled over 8 million miles on jet planes and preached all over America and 19 foreign countries. I start off, if I'm at some place where folks don't know me well, or maybe they have not been there before, I often start off with a little routine of some kind. This is one of my favorite ones because our church is large and people think that a pastor of a large church probably is somebody real important and big and so forth, and I want to convince them that I'm just in a corn-fed hillbilly, which is, I guess, the highest you can reach, point you can reach. But I often start off like this. And by the way, don't leave me. I'm going to give you several little illustrations to start off with. I often start off and I'll say, how many of you have never seen me before? And they'll raise their hand. Bear in mind, now, they don't know me. They just have heard of me. And so, you know, raise their hand. And I'll say, don't you think I'm better looking than you thought I'd be? I rarely ever get a positive response to that. But I'll say, I have an idea that some of you have heard of our church and our college and so forth, and you want to come and see what I look like. And you had it all pictured. You pictured somebody about 6'4", big, husky, looked like a tight end on a football team or something. I'm shaped more like the ball than I am the tight end. So you want to see. So, especially out west, tomorrow night I'll be in Michigan, and the next week I'll be in Texas, Dallas area, Arlington, Texas. Next week I'll be Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I'll say, you wanted to see what I look like. And so you came to find out what the pastor of the largest church in America looks like. And you walked in, and somebody said, which way is he going to come in? And he says, he's going to walk down the aisle out there. I'm preaching. And so in I walk. And then you say, there's the custodian. Now, when's Hiles going to be here, you know? And I chit-chat for a while with them. Would you like to know why I do that? I'm trying to get them to like me. You say that's an ulterior motive. No, I'm trying to get them to like me. In a few weeks, we'll have vacation Bible school. Be worth your while just to come and sit in the balcony and watch what goes on. I'll holler. I'll scream. I'll lay down on this platform, stick my feet in there and scream and throw a fit. And you know why I do that? Because I want the kids to like me. I'm trying to get them to like me. You say, preacher, is that what you live for? Yes, that's what I live for. I have not succeeded, but that's what I live for. I want the kids to like me. Saturday mornings, some of our teenage girls come by the office. And they come in, I'd say sometimes 15, 20, 25 of them. And I sit there and just chew the fat with them, cut up with them, and tell them a fun little story I've heard, and we have a big time. Now, here's an old man, 71 years of age, cutting up like he was a teenager. You know why I do that? I want those girls to like me. Well, you say, preacher, that's not a good... Oh, you just decide. But then after they leave, teenage boys come in. Boy, what a letdown there is. A bunch of pretty girls leave and a bunch of stinking boys come in. And I cut up with them. I mean, we talk about everything that's right to talk about, and even some things that are wrong, such as Chicago Bulls and Dennis Rodman and so forth. And now you're talking about a 71-year-old man acting like a teenage kid. You know why I do that? I want the guys to like me. I think no one's about it. I want them to like me. Several times a year, I'll go to Hiles Anderson College on a Thursday night. Sometimes Mrs. Hiles goes with me and act the fool out there with our college young ladies. And all they got signs saying, Michigan loves you, and I say, I love Michigan girls, and we'll have a, just have a time. And Mrs. Hiles comes out, and they'll ask me to kiss her a few times, and I'm willing to do it. She's somewhat reluctant, but and they'll go, woo! You know why I go out to college? I'm trying to get those girls to like me. And on it goes. Let me explain what I mean. Somebody came to me one day and said, Brother Hiles, I don't understand John 21:15-17. Don't turn to it. I said, why? And they said, Jesus asked Peter, lovest thou me? Isn't it wrong to do something so you can be loved? Isn't that selfish? I replied, wanting to be loved is not wrong. See what I said? I said, trying to be loved is not wrong. Working to be loved and liked is not wrong. Wanting folks to like you is not wrong. Now hear me carefully. It is why you're trying to be loved that matters. Jesus said to Peter, lovest thou me? He was trying to get Peter to express his love to him. And Peter said, thou knowest that I like thee. And Jesus said, then feed my lambs, he said, first time. Second time and third time, he said, feed my sheep. Now, what was he doing? He was trying to get Peter to love him. But now this is it. He wants his love, not for a selfish reason. Jesus wants the love of the Apostle Peter, of Simon Peter, because he wants Simon Peter to obey him. And if Simon Peter loves him, he will come nearer obeying him. Those young people that come to my office on Saturday morning, if I can get them to like me, they'll come a lot nearer listening to what I say when I preach. If I can get those young college ladies out there to like Mrs. Howells and me, I can get them more likely to live a decent Christian life. I stayed at our Howells Anderson College young men some time ago and out in the pastorate. When you go out in the pastorate, the first thing you want to do is win your people to yourself. You say, well, the house, that's an ulterior motive. No, yeah, that's not your final motive. Winning the people to yourself is only a tool. There are people here this morning who live by standards that I believe, not because necessarily you believe them, because you love me and you want to please me. And so I'm trying to say that I have the Vacation Bible School. I want these boys and girls to grow up and be decent people. I want them to have happy, clean, wonderful lives. So it's not wrong for me if I try to get them to like me or love me in order that I can, that they will listen to me and live the kind of life that'll make them happy. So Jesus was wanting Peter's love so he could help Peter and he could help the sheep. He said, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. Jesus wasn't saying, I just want to be loved. He was saying, I want to bless you. I want to change you. I want to change my people. Now, Peter, if you love me, you'll come near obeying me. And Peter said, I like thee. What Jesus was saying here, he was saying Peter's love was important so he could help Peter and others. Now, let me illustrate. Here's a pastor who compromises his message so his people will love him. Wouldn't give you a dime for him. They'll get out of the ministry and make a decent living, an honest living. I mean, a fellow's supposed to preach what he believes and preach the old-time religion, preach this Bible as the Word of God. Then, I'm not going to trim my message on mixed swimming to get young people to love me. I'm gonna like them and love them and treat them right so they will like me, so then when I preach my message on mixed swimming, they'll know what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to get you couples, just to like me so I'll be liked. I'm trying to get you to like me so you'll go home and have the kind of marriage you ought to have and have the kind of home and family you ought to have. You see, ladies and gentlemen, a pastor compromises to get love. That's wrong. But if a pastor is kind and gracious in order to help change his people, that's fine. So the criteria is my what is my goal in wanting to get love? Let's take one of these doctors. Dr. Giragos, one of our good members, heart surgeon, probably the best in the area. My opinion is the best heart surgeon in the area. Take Dr. Cal Streeter back here, Dr. Dennis Streeter. Dr. Dennis Streeter, wonderful surgeon. In fact, he's operated, he has more of my wife than I do. He's operated on her, I think, four times, isn't it, or so? And he also got her brain, it looks like. But anyway, but what a tremendous bedside manner he has. Now, he told me one time that he had performed 1,100 surgeries the year before. That's amazing. Now, you go to Dr. Streeter's office. He'll be nice. Come right in. And how are you today? And what a tremendous bedside manner. Now, what's he trying? Is he trying to get you to like him? No. He knows that you need surgery. And he's trying to convince you that he can take care of your situation. Now, it is not wrong here because let's suppose that you go see Dr. Streeter and he comes out with his scalpel in his hand. Come on over here. Lay down on the table. I got to get your gizzard out here. You're going to go to another doctor, you see. So he is courteous and nice because he has something
He knows that you need what He can do for you, and the courtesy and the kindness and getting you to like Him is only a tool for Him to do something for you. Now again, if He tells you that you don't need surgery and you die, He's nice to get you to like Him, then He's a crook. But if He gets you to like Him because He has something He can do for you to help you and make you well, then that's what Jesus is doing here. He's saying, I need somebody to feed my sheep. And Peter, you need to serve God. You need to be helpful to society. And society needs you. So Peter, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. He was saying, I want you to love me, and I want you to like me, because I have some things I want to help you with. So, several statements I want to make. Number one is, I want you to love me. Which, of course, for you is no problem, as lovable as I am, but I want you to love me. Listen to me now. I want you to love me. You say, Brother Howes, isn't that selfish? Not selfish at all. I enjoy your love. I enjoy a little note under my door. Sometimes I get 25, 30 a day. Sometimes I'll get hundreds in one day. Some class at the grade school, each one of them will write me a little note. I wish you could see it. One little girl wrote me and said, I love you. I don't care how old you are. She said, I'd love you if you were 50. And I read every one of them. I guess I must have gotten 50 yesterday. I read every one of them. I like it. The little girl wrote me and she said, you're the handsomest preacher in the world. I love it. Boy, I love a truthful child. I love it. It's wonderful. I can remember this morning already. I have gotten 17 candy bars. As you can know, I give them all for the kids. I've gotten 17 candy bars. I've gotten, I think, 8 little packages of cheese crackers this morning. I've gotten a bottle of orange juice this morning. I've gotten a big package of popcorn this morning. And you sit with the house. Do you enjoy eating that stuff? Oh, you gotta be kidding, man. I mean, did you ever eat a Nutrageous bar? If you ever eat a Nutrageous bar, you will never go to the health food store again. That's preaching, ain't it? But I'm sorry, Dr. Cal, I didn't mean that. I mean, if you ever drink carrot juice, you'll never eat a Nutrageous bar again. I didn't mean that. But I love it. Nutrageous bar. I want the affection. And anybody wants affection. The grouchiest old person in the world, he wants to be loved, and I want it. But, listen carefully now. I feel I have some answers to life. I feel that in all these 71, almost 72 years of life, I found out some answers. I've watched people. I know what marriages are happy and what marriages are unhappy. And I want to tell you what caused the happy marriages and what caused the unhappy marriages. I've seen how young people turn out. I've seen the young people who, in fact, we have young people right now in jail who didn't listen to me. But nobody's in jail who did listen to me. And I've seen how they turn out. I'm not just opposed to rock music. I'm opposed to what it does to our young people and to our society. I'm not opposed to women wearing shorts in public or going mixed swimming. I'm not opposed. I'm opposed to what it does to the minds of men. I'm trying to say I've learned some things, ladies and gentlemen, and I want to help you. I want to help your young people to grow up and be decent young people. I want to help you, your marriages to be happy. I want to help you to have a rich and happy life. I don't want you to live a life of remorse someday and a life of regret someday. I want you to have the richest life possible, and I have learned some things, and I want you to trust me. But if I don't get you to like me, you won't trust me. When I came to First Baptist Church in Hammond 39 years ago, there's some things here I wanted to change, but I didn't change anything right away. But they wouldn't allow a piano on Sunday morning. It was too informal. So we didn't have a piano on Sunday morning for a while. They wouldn't allow a congregational song leader on Sunday morning because that was too informal. So we didn't have a congregational song leader for a while. And for months, I changed very, very little. You know why? Because I wanted the people to like me. And then I got a majority of the people to like me. Then I could institute my program. But if a fellow to go in and start, well, all of a sudden, some of our students, they go in and start. First thing they'll do is preach on mixed women. I preach your boy. The first time I came to Hammond, went to a youth activity. The first activity was a mixed women party down at Lake Tippecanoe. And there sat those girls down there in their bathing suits and those boys in their bathing suits and I, the new pastor, and I didn't walk in and say, "Why, you dirty hypocrites, you ear tickling baskets and tennis and nickel lippins, all soap and pink to you, and compromisers. You all be ashamed." No, sir. I stood there and spoke to those young people while they were in their immodest bathing suits. And I won them to myself that day. And once I won them to myself, then I could perform surgery. See? Jesus said, Peter, so I'm trying to say, on this side we have the preacher who will compromise and turn his message because his goal is to be loved. On this side we have the preacher who will love and want to be loved. So the message that he refuses to trim will be accepted by those people that love him. Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me?" I said, "Number one, I want you to love me and like me. Number two, I want it and I seek it. Number three, I feel I have some answers." By the way, I don't just feel it. I know I have some answers. You say, "How'd you get so smart?" I'm not so smart. I've been living for 72 years. I've kept my eyes open. I know the road to divorce. I know the road to heartache. I know the road to ruin. I know the road to miserable life. I know it. Why? Because I've seen people traveling both ways, and it's my job to get you to listen to me and say, "This is the way to happiness, and this is the way to misery, and this is the way to joy, and this is the way to ruin." I want you to listen to me, and to get you to do that, I want you to like me. I feel I've learned some things, and I feel I can help you live a rich and happy life. If you like or love me, you will come nearer listening to me and considering what I suggest in preaching. By the way, some of you parents would do wise to try to win your children. See what I said? Some of you parents would do wise to try, instead of being a top sergeant, you might be wise to try to win your children. Cindy loves me. We're buddies. Have a beautiful poem she wrote. In fact, it's in the biography she wrote about me. On a little table thing, like in my office, on a little cabinet in my office. The fact that we're still buddies after all these years. Would you like to know why Cindy listens to me? Was it your 15th birthday, Puddin'? I got the limousine. 16th birthday. I got some of her friends, I rented a limousine. And I drove it. And I got me a chauffeur's uniform. Bill on cap, uniform. Surprised her with a birthday party. And got them in a limousine. Rode them down to Chicago to the revolving restaurant there, the Pinnacle Restaurant. I stood as the chauffeur. I stood at the door of the restaurant. As people walked in, I was standing there like that with a chauffeur outfit on. Dr. Jack Hyatt. Acting a fool. Well, I don't even really have to act. But I was acting, "So you folks laugh or go home, I'm tired looking at you." But I was standing there, and all of a sudden, I didn't realize it, I was with the coat room. Guy walked up, gave me his coat, gave me a quarter. I made almost $3 that night. Had my cap on, and so forth. You think I enjoyed that? Not on your life. Except us trying to make Cindy like her daddy. And that's why she sang this in the group this morning. Now listen to me, folks. It is wrong for you to change right into wrong to be liked or loved. It all depends on the motive. It is not wrong for you to be decent and kind and loving and want folks to love you because you found some answers. I said, "I want you to love me. I need it. I want it. I seek it." And nothing wrong with that. But I feel I have found some answers. I feel I have learned some things. I feel I can help you live a rich and happy life. And if you like or love me, you will come nearer listening to me and considering what I preach. I'm not trying to be popular. I'm trying to be liked so I can help you. If I trim my message to get you to like me, that's wrong. If I get you to like me so I can preach to you my untrimmed message, that's not wrong. Let me explain what I mean. There's a young man here this morning. I told him I was going to use him as illustration. One of my best buddies in this room. His name is Paul Jorgensen. Paul Jorgensen, when he was in high school, had some little time of rebellion. Dr. Jorgensen, his father, who was vice president of our college at the time, I had an appointment with Dr. Jorgensen regularly on a Saturday night, I think it was third Saturday night of the month, for about an hour he'd come in, and it was a personal appointment. We didn't talk about business, we talked about personal matters, and we'd just be friends. I don't know how many times Paul's sitting right down here this morning, I don't know how many times Dr. Jorgensen said, as did Lee, please pray for Paul. Now, Paul wasn't a real wicked boy. He got drunk a little bit, but he wasn't a real wicked boy. Paul was a decent, moral kid, but he just wanted to... He was just a little rebellious. And I've seen Dr. Jorgensen time and time again say to the house, Paul's a good boy, but he hasn't found it yet. And Brother House, please pray for Paul. I've seen him weep in my office, not for a wayward son, but a son about whom he was worried. I decided that I was going to make Paul like me. We had some rough times at first, Paul, but I decided I was going to win Paul. Now, here's the thing about it. Paul had a horrible case of acne on his face. And Dr. Jorgensen said, Paul's afraid you'll never get married. He's afraid to ask a girl for a date. I said, Dr. Jordan, have you ever looked at your own face, son? You got married. But Dr. Jorgensen would say, please pray for Paul. I do not know how many prayers I prayed for Paul Jorgensen. And then one day it hit me. Look, if you've got acne, don't line up outside my door after the service this morning. I don't give a flip whether you have it or not. But I was trying to get Paul to like me. So I sent him at my expense to one of the best, what do you call those kind of doctors? Dermatologists. I sent him, or was it a veterinarian? I've forgotten where I sent him. But I sent him to one of the best dermatologists, a man that had an amazing doctor. Now, he's retired now. But I sent Paul to this dermatologist, and I contacted them, and I said, send me the bill. Now, I'll be quite frank with you. I probably spent $2,000 out of my pocket for Paul. What was I doing? Trying to make him like me. Oh, you're trying to make folks like you. No, I was trying to make Paul be the kind of young man he ought to be. And for me to be willing to, for him to be willing to submit to my surgery, I had to do something to make him like me. And the doctor did exactly what I thought he would. Paul's face was cleared up. And Paul and I became buddies. I took him out to eat one day. We became good pals. And I got to like him and he got to like me. And then I could operate. Then I could get the scalpel out, perform surgery. Paul fell in love with a lovely young lady. 1 month ago, yesterday, I think. 4 weeks ago yesterday, is that right, Paul? 4 weeks ago yesterday, stood right here. And I performed their ceremony. The last of this month, Paul is going to the Portland, Oregon area to be on the staff of one of the finest churches on the West Coast. You think I'm not proud of Paul? You think I don't love that guy? When Dr. Jorgensen was here, every Sunday morning before the Sunday school, Dr. Jorgensen would leave a big bag of popcorn outside my office door and a little note that he loved me. Dr. Jorgensen left, and Paul decided he'd take up the popcorn idea. By the way, I'll expect you to choose a successor when you go out to... Now,
I love the guy like he's my own son. And he's made me so proud. I was out, saw your sister the other day, and she said, Brother Howes, I want to thank you for being a friend to Paul. And I want to thank you for all the nice things you said at the wedding. She said, I'm so proud of Paul, and I'm so thankful. Now, if I had said to Paul, go ahead and live the life you want to live, man. Paul, nothing wrong with that. Everybody has a right to choose what he wants to choose. Go ahead and live your own life. Continue being a rebel. Think for yourself. Do what's right in your own eyes. He would have liked me right away. But that would have been the wrong motive. I would have been trying to seek love, and that's wrong. But if I had some things I knew could help him, then for me to seek him, his love for me, so I could then perform surgery. So ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are trying your goal in life, I want to be liked, I want to be liked, I want to be loved. That's totally wrong. But if you like the Savior said, I want to get my sheep fed, I want to help Peter, I want to help my people. And so Peter, love me, because if you love me, then you will obey me. And that's what Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So Jesus was seeking love, not as an end, but as a means to an end and as a tool. There are Paul Jorgensen's all over this room this morning. I use him as an example because he got mad. And look what he got. Paul, you and your wife stand up. Look what he got, man. Give him a hand, would you? Look what he got. Well, if he had that acne on his face, he'd never gotten hurt. Back when the acne was off, we saw what it looked like. We wanted to put the acne back on. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. We ought to be kind to each other. We ought to have gentleness and love and grace and friendliness and courtesy. The nicest people in the world ought to be God's people. But not so we can be praised or loved, but bless God, we have the answer for a lost world. And the answer for a happy life. And the answer for joy. And the answer for a happy marriage. But we'll never get our message across until we win people to like us and love us. So put the scalpel up when the patient first comes in. When he comes in, don't be sharpening the knife. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And this person asked me, Brother Howes, that was selfish on Jesus' part to say, Peter, I want you to love me. Oh, you don't know the Savior. The Savior wanted people to, hey, when Peter stood up there and preached on Pentecost, and 3,000 people got saved and baptized in one day, you know why they got saved? Because Jesus talked Peter into liking him and loving him. It's time that some of you men decided, rather than saying to your wife, obey me because Ephesians says you're supposed to, it might be wise to try opening the car door for her. It might be wise for you to start treating her like a lady. It might be wise for you to love her like Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. And then you'll get the obedience and the submission that you were seeking when you were the Napoleon of the household. It might be wise for some of you educators to be human. So they'll like you? No, not so they'll like you, so they'll listen to you. But they will not listen to you unless they like you. Strange little sermon this morning. But the kind of sermon that you go soul winning. Somebody opens the door and you say, you're going to hell, aren't you? And they'll tell you to go there too. Last November, I was preaching in Orange Park, Florida for Dr. Tom Neal. There's a fellow, an old preacher there, 70 years old. So Dr. Neal said on the platform, he said, Dr. House, there's an old preacher here that knows you. And I think of old, I think of 125 or so. And he asked, what's his name? He said, Walter St. Clair. Walter St. Clair? Well, he's younger than I am. He's 70.
And Dr. Neal said, oh, my.
Walter St. Clair pastored in Dallas, Texas, when I was in Dallas County pastoring. I preached a revival meeting for Walter St. Clair, and one day we went out, well, several days, we went out soul winning together. I said, and by the same old man that's down there in November in the services, he was retired, worn out, but I said, Walter, you witness the first house, and I'll witness the second. We'll keep on alternating it. Knocked on the door, didn't have doorbells in those days, knocked on the door, a female came to the door. And she was trying to reveal the fact that she was a female. She had on short shorts, a halter, and Walter St. Clair said, ma'am, if you'll get some clothes on, we might talk to you. She pulled the door back to slam it. I said, ma'am, hold it a minute. We're off to a horrible start. I said, my name is Jack Hiles. This is Walter St. Clair. And I said, forgive us. We didn't mean to treat you that way. I said, the truth is, we've come today because we'd like to help you. And that, we walked in and won her to Jesus Christ. And as soon as she got saved, she got some newspapers and covered her body up. But that lady would probably die and go to hell someday. If I hadn't have made her like us. Well, sister, go get some clothes on, we might talk to you. Now, by the way, that's the way I felt. But that's not the way I talked. That's time that people started being kind to each other. You got a kid sister or a kid brother, and you could help them? Okay, you're not going to be their hero they won't do what you say. Unless you become their hero. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you're doing it for the reason Jesus did it. Now this morning, may I say this, and I'll close. Jesus loves you this morning. He's manifested that love. By leaving heaven, coming to earth, living a perfect life, going to Calvary, and paying the price for your sins. He's earned the right for you to love him. Now why did he do it? So you can go to heaven when you die and not go to hell. And we love you this morning, and we want you to realize we love you. Now, we want you to love us, not so we can collect people that love us, but we have a message of a Savior who lives and died. There's a heaven and a hell, and you can go to heaven if you want to. You don't have to go to hell. I wonder why I cut up doing announcements and chit-chat doing announcements. I'm trying to get you to like me, so when I let you have it later, maybe you'll listen to what I say. And so in Jesus' name, with the love of Christ this morning, if you're not his child, trust him as your Savior. Accept your home in heaven as a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Accept it this morning, realizing that you're a sinner like all of us are. Sinners are lost like all sinners are without Christ. But that Christ has paid the penalty for your sin. Walk down these aisles in a few moments and tell the fellow at the end of the aisle that you want to become a Christian. That's what it says, the love of Christ constraineth us. Shall we stand, please?